Police in Madison made more arrests as protesters blocked roads and set fires after the city cleared an encampment. It's Thursday, August 6th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, is Wisconsin's new online sports betting law unconstitutional? That's the claim of a conservative group's lawsuit.
You know, if something that was previously illegal is now no longer illegal, you've authorized it, right?
And it's been a year since historic flooding hit Milwaukee. Residents say they're still dealing with the aftermath. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
The arrest count at the Madison protest encampment site grew overnight. As Anya Van Wacht and Donk reports, that comes after a fraught 24 hours that began with city crews trying to clear the intersection where Corey Ruiz was shot dead by police 2 weeks ago.
Throughout Tuesday, protesters attempted to return to the city intersection that had been a barricaded protest zone and camping site. Several people were arrested as city crews moved tents and other belongings to a nearby park. Police Chief James Patterson said 30 to 40 protesters remained behind overnight, setting fires and clashing with police.
I saw things last night that I haven't seen in years.
Patterson said 22 people have been arrested, including a minor who was carrying a gun. On Wednesday afternoon, Ruiz's family released a statement through their attorney saying they did not authorize the encampment and calling for calm and de-escalation. Anya Van Wacht and Donk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A federal appeals court has found that energy firm Enbridge has been trespassing on the Bad River Tribe's reservation. But it's giving the company time to complete the reroute of its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline that's already underway. A three-judge panel for the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals issued the ruling Thursday. The decision comes years after the Bad River Tribe sued Enbridge in federal court to shut down and remove Line 5 from its lands. 3 years ago, a federal judge found the company was trespassing on tribal lands and ordered Enbridge to pay $5 million to Bad River. The order also required shutting down or rerouting Line 5 in 3 years. The federal appeals court said the deadline was too aggressive. The panel said Enbridge's trespass cannot continue, but the company must be allowed to complete the Line 5 reroute. They also asked a lower court to revisit damages owed to the tribe. Enbridge said it's reviewing the decision and next steps. An attorney for the tribe says they hope the company faces meaningful consequences. A lawsuit from conservative groups claims Wisconsin's new online sports betting law is unconstitutional and must be struck down. Rich Kramer reports.
A bipartisan law enacted in April changed the definition of the word bet to allow online sports betting so long as computer servers facilitating the wagers were located on tribal lands. Conservative groups represented by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty claim it's unconstitutional. That's because voters banned lawmakers from authorizing any new gambling outside of things like raffles and lotteries when they amended the state constitution in 1993. Attorney Lucas Weber says it appears legislators thought changing the definition of bet was a way around that.
But of course, I think our counter to that is, you know, if something that was previously illegal is now no longer illegal, you've authorized it, right?
In a social media post, a spokesperson for Governor Tony Evers accused the law firm of trying to undermine tribal sovereignty. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
La Crosse School District leaders are considering how to use a 200,000-square-foot office building that was donated to the district last month. HVAC manufacturer Trane Technologies gifted their former corporate headquarters and its more than 40-acre site to the local school system. Two district departments will be relocated to the property in the next month. Leaders hope to begin using the space for professional development and community meetings by midwinter. During a tour of the building this week, school board member Jim Bagneski says it has the potential to meet many of the district's current and future needs.
There's so many things. You just want to hope you pick the right one and say this is how the district should be designed over the next 30, 40 years.
Superintendent Aaron Engel says the district is keeping current building renovations low cost, but future projects may require community input or a referendum. A Superior company is partnering with the owner of the world's largest shipbuilding company to modernize U.S. shipyards. As Danielle Kading reports, South Korea has pledged to invest $150 billion in U.S. shipbuilding under a trade deal with the Trump administration.
Fraser Industries and Superior signed a memorandum of understanding with HD Korea Shipbuilding and Offshore Engineering. It's the parent company for HD Hyundai's shipbuilding business. The agreement comes as a new center will oversee the rollout of a $150 billion investment in U.S. shipbuilding. Fraser CEO Patrick Kelly says it's working with the Korean company to modernize the Superior shipyard.
But it's utilizing information technology and AI to better lay out and build the boat from the ground up.
Kelly says the goal is to become more efficient, build more boats, and hire more workers. The Trump administration is working with South Korean shipbuilders to revitalize the industry in the United States. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin artist is donating over 2,000 pieces of her work to the John Michael Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan. Michelle Grabner has worked at museums across the world, including the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. She's also a teacher at the Art Institute of Chicago. Grabner is from the Fox River Valley. She says she used to have a desire to explore larger art markets, such as New York City, but really values the scene in Wisconsin.
There is a kind of distance from those big commercial capitals, cultural capitals on the coast, that allow artists the freedom to really explore and think differently.
She says that the Kohler Arts Center allows her to display her full arc of work. That includes her manuscripts, archives, and even syllabi from teaching at the Art Institute. The executive director of the Art Center says they are excited for the unique opportunity to work with a mid-career artist. After the break, a year ago, historic rainfall caused flooding across southeastern Wisconsin. Many residents are still dealing with the effects. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
This weekend is the one-year anniversary of a storm that caused severe flooding in southeast Wisconsin. Evan Casey has more on how that disaster is still impacting residents and what's being done to prevent future floods.
James Moore will never forget August 9th of last year. His wife woke him up in the middle of the night. There was water rushing into the basement of their Wauwatosa home.
So by the time I got up and went and looked, it was like at least waist high, right? And then she said, "We're being flooded." And I walk outside and there's water everywhere.
Moore went out to his front porch. The Menominee River was now flowing across his street.
And the water kept getting higher and higher and higher. It stopped raining. Then the water went down, and it started back to rain, and it just got worse.
The storm dropped between 6 and more than 12 inches of rain across 4 counties. One spot in the city of Milwaukee got nearly 15 inches of rain within 24 hours, a new state record. Steve Avaris is a state climatologist.
And this is what you'd expect from a hurricane near the Gulf Coast, not in the southern Wisconsin.
Kevin Schaefer is the executive director of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District.
And there was water everywhere. Streets were flooded, basements were flooded, overflows were occurring, our system got flooded out.
The nonprofit Impact 211 was tasked with collecting damage reports. They received over 26,000. Some of the hardest hit areas were in neighborhoods with high rates of poverty. Bob Waite is with the nonprofit.
What is really significant about this particular event is how it really impacted households that were already really struggling.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency responded, giving more than $208 million to nearly 37,000 households. Eric Truss lives in Wauwatosa. He and his wife received around $20,000 from FEMA. He says that helped pay for an estimated $85,000 to $100,000 in damages. But
that didn't even cover a quarter of it when it comes down to it.
Truss said repair work in his basement was only recently completed.
We drained our savings And then we had to take out, we each took loans out of our 401ks.
Colette Anderson of Milwaukee took off 2 weeks from work to clean up the mess in her flooded basement.
It was like a full-time job. And every day I had somebody different coming over to help me throw out stuff or take stuff to a dumpster.
While residents received help from FEMA, the agency denied the state's request for public aid. That's left some local governments on the hook for repairs for infrastructure like roads and buildings. Greg Engel is the administrator of Wisconsin Emergency Management.
So we were disappointed that we didn't get approved. I'm not gonna lie about that. But you know, we move on, and we do have state disaster assistance funding available for some of those costs for those local governments.
In the wake of the disaster, officials in the region are looking to ways to prevent flooding in the future. That's as the state's climate is becoming warmer and wetter. Schaefer says the wastewater treatment facility is accelerating nearly $100 million in flood management projects that will add 220 million gallons of stormwater storage to the region.
So the goal is to have these facilities built so when this next storm comes, there's at least some place for some of this water to get to.
While local government is working to prevent flooding in the future, residents affected by last year's storm are still dealing with the past. Colette Anderson says a year after the flood, she gets worried when a storm is on the way.
It makes me nervous when it rains, if I'm being honest, but I know I've done all the things I can do as a precaution. After that, I have no fight for Mother Nature and what comes from that sky.
But just in case, she had her basement renovated with floodwaters in mind. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now for a check of the forecast. A dense fog advisory will be in effect until 9 a.m. through central and northeast Wisconsin. Meanwhile, today, areas of fog early, then sunny to partly cloudy and seasonal. Highs will reach in the upper 70s to low 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog also possible. Looking ahead to tomorrow, it's Friday. Expect partly cloudy conditions, warm and more humid. Also a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms later in the afternoon affecting the northwestern half. Highs, meanwhile, will reach in the 80s. Thanks so much for listening to Wisconsin Today Morning News. We really appreciate it. And just remember, you can always find more news at WPR.org. And a special shout out to our producer today, Evan Casey. We'll see you back here tomorrow.